Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, or David's Vacation Club Rental. You can contact any of our fine sponsors at our website at www.mainstreetmemories.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Good, Doug. How you doing this week?
Doing well. Can you believe this is show 117?
Time flies when you're having fun.
Oh, absolutely. I can't believe we could still gab about Disney. We still got plenty in us.
Yeah, it's amazing. When we first started doing this show together, we kind of, or at least I did, said it's going to be tough coming up with something to talk about, but there's always something in the news, or there's always trip reports, and always something to talk about as it pertains to Disney World.
It's nonstop. We can, like we did on our last show, we talked about paper napkins for 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's just amazing how we can get off on a tangent, but that's fun, part of the fun of doing this show, that we get to express our viewpoints and have a little chit-chat about it back and forth.
So, we're going to do part two of my trip. We're going to head on over to the Magic Kingdom, as that's where we went the first day.
Nice. That's the first full day, right?
Yeah, first full day. Okay. You know, we spent we said in the last show that we hung out at Riverside for we checked in and just stayed there. Didn't have park tickets for the first day. So our first day in the parks was actually over at the Magic Kingdom. We went in, we checked out. It was really beautiful because they had all the pumpkins up and everything up for the fall, for Halloween and Thanksgiving. And, you know, my train came pulling in, which was absolutely, you know, me with the trains.
Yeah, that's a love of yours and one of your favorite attractions at the Kingdom. I'm glad the pumpkins were up. I know you were curious when we were talking about your trip a couple of shows ago. You wondered if that stuff would be up, and your question was answered.
Yeah, Brenda she loves the fall. She loves the fall for the decoration. She's a Halloween fan. She's not into horror. Like, she does like scary movies a little bit, but she's more into the fun part of Halloween and Thanksgiving. You know, she likes the colors, the orange, the fall colors.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably one of the best things about living in the Northeast, I got to admit. Although I don't like raking them, but I do like looking at the foliage when it turns this time of year, or will be shortly, I should say. But, that is a neat part of that time of the year.
Yeah, we have one monster tree on our property that turns like a yellow orange, and it's huge, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And that's one of the things I will miss about it. The only thing I hate about it, once the leaves hit the ground, I go in depression until it gets warm again.
Yeah, that's tough to look at those bare trees, and of course, like I said, raking them up or whatever means you use to get them up, whether you use your tractor or leaf blower or whatever, it's still an ongoing chore till the first snowfall.
All the above. So, we headed over to the Magic Kingdom. The sad part was is because everybody knew that I got my tickets would be at an agent, so I had to pick them up at will call in the morning. And, you know, I got my tickets, the whole nine yards, got that straightened out. But I couldn't get Fast Pass. I could get Fast Pass for everything but the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Wouldn't you know it, right?
Yeah. And I knew that. We knew that going in. And we'll get to that later. We ended up going on it. But we started off the day and, you know, roamed down Main Street. And what's after the train station and all that, you guys know I always talk about. What's my first thing I usually like to do, Dan?
After the train station. On Main Street or?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I know you don't drink coffee, so it's not going into Starbucks, that's for sure.
We did do that, though, but that wasn't the first thing we did. My wife drinks coffee. She loves Starbucks. She's a Starbucks geek like you. Pumpkin spice lattes is her thing. Pumpkin spice latte iced is her thing.
Oh,
iced
boy.
Coffee.
Get that straight.
Yeah. And they're tall, small. No, I tell the guy small, medium, large. I don't want to hear tall, grande. No. Hate to say this, but bite me. I want small, medium, or large.
Okay. I got to say, I'm at a blank here. I can't.
The first thing you know I always talk about, we go into the candy store. We can't wait to get in there.
Yeah, now I feel
it. It starts off every trip. The smell of that candy store, it makes it. You see the view of the castle. You walk by Tony's. You see the view of the castle, and then we always sneak into the candy store.
See, that's interesting because we kind of do the opposite. Where I like the collectibles, the pins, and the vinyl mations. I'm tend to be drawn towards the Emporium, and then we usually hit the candy store on our way back. So when we go up Main Street, we always go to the left, and then walk up and either go to Adventureland or something like that. And then on the way out of the park, we'll walk the other side, stopping at the candy store last thing before we leave the park. But I got to admit, that's a great store.
It's like the very first time Brenda took me there in 97, that's where we went in, and now it's like tradition. We go in the candy store first. We don't usually buy anything, but just to roam around and smell it, you know, just to see the little conveyor belts on the ceiling, all that is like, it's memories to me. Because I still remember the first time I seen it, like, I was like, man, that is cool.
Yeah, and I like the fact that they have that little glass area there where you can see the cast members making some sort of treats or popsicle, not popsicles, but lollipops or something, or marshmallow pops, whatever they are. And, sometimes if they're making something unique, it's kind of interesting to, you know, stop and take that in for a couple minutes.
I just like looking at everything in there. It's so cool. Like, they had all kind of pumpkin treats and pumpkin heads and you name it. It's just nice to see that. The different stuff, but it's basically the smell in there, and it's always so spotless and clean in there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, you very rarely, or if at all, that I can remember, you won't see like candy on the floor, or you know, you would think you would see, you know, M&Ms that people have stepped on, but I've never really seen that in there. You're right; they do keep it super clean in there.
And it's super bright in that store. Have you ever noticed how bright it is? Like everything, it's weird. It seems bigger than what it actually is when you go in there because of the lightness of it and all.
Yeah, and that's interesting because as you go further up Main Street into some of the other stores like the watch store and stuff like that, the lighting and the decor is so different. But you're right. It's almost like they've done something to enhance the lighting in the candy store because you're right. It is like a bright white, if you will.
Yeah, it's just clean, fresh. It's like a white glove treatment in there.
Yep.
But what we did is we bounce across. Then we go over to the Main Street Emporium, and we roam through there. Brenda actually needed lip gloss. She actually needed
chapstick?
Sun protection for her lips.
Yeah.
She needed, you know, to put on her lips so she wouldn't get her lips burned. Mm-hmm. And I broke her stones and said, I never had my lips burned, blah, blah, blah. And don't you know I got my lips burned this trip?
That'll teach you for saying that.
Yeah, me and my big mouth, as Ralph Cramden used to say.
Yep.
But no, we bounced back and forth, and then we went over to, our first ride was actually, we went on the Haunted Mansion.
Okay.
We got right in the Haunted Mansion. That's Brenda's favorite. We went over there and got on that. And
now, do you?
I like.
You just did,
what's that?
You just did standby. You did. Did you have a fast pass? Or?
No, I actually had fast pass for that.
Oh, nice.
I got it first.
Nice.
And we went on that for her because she loves going on that. We walked right on that. We roamed. You know, we did that, and then we roamed over into New Fantasyland, which to start off, we love the Haunted Mansion. That never gets old. Every time I get excited when the walls are closing in, it's just that ride is just. I loved the Haunted Mansion.
Right.
We went on it a couple times. I could go on that as many times as you want me to. I just enjoy the whole thing. The music perks you up. You know what you're going to see. But even that is, over the years, I don't know what it is. It just seems more vibrant every time you go on it, don't it?
Yeah, I mean, they've done some enhancements to the sound system and some of the areas in there, but you're right. It is it's both a classic attraction and, you know, it's somewhat cutting edge. I mean, there's a lot of technology in there, although it is old. It to your point, it never gets old. I agree with that. That's a tried and true attraction. Not only Disney World, but Disney parks throughout the world.
It's a must do for us. And then we went over to New Fantasyland, roamed around in there. I got sad because Mine Train was over an hour.
Uh-oh.
So we walked right by it, and we did. We went over and did the new adventures, you know, under the seas.
Oh, yeah, with Ariel and the Little Mermaid.
Ariel.
Yep.
I actually enjoyed that. My wife liked it, but she was, like, not, like, over the top. I just liked the whole outside atmosphere of it. I liked the structure that they built, the whole facade of it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I liked about it, we said with Scott, because I chimed in a little bit, What I liked about it is it kept Disney to its truest roots.
Yeah.
You know, for the kids, it'll keep another generation getting to see the classic dark ride, in my opinion, because they might replace one of the older dark rides, but this ain't going to be replaced anytime soon. So it'll keep the Disney legacy alive, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah, I mean, and the queue line goes on forever. I mean, luckily, the couple of times that I've been on it since it opened, it was not a busy time, and I was able to walk right through. But I seem to remember walking forever. It's a lot like the Nemo ride over at Epcot there. That queue line goes on forever as well. But yeah, I mean, it is a great attraction. I know you spoke about the audio on animatronics in there, that they're, you know, so far above and beyond, you know, like pirates and something like that. The facial features are just so much more vibrant, and they're colorful. And, you know, I like the one of the things that I really liked on that attraction is the, you know, they try to give you the sensation that you're going underwater when you first mm-hmm. go on it. I mean, your ride vehicle turns around and you see the bubbles going up over your head. So that's pretty neat how they kind of, you know, make you seem like you're actually going into the water and seeing all this stuff underwater, which is actually where you are when you're looking at all this stuff.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was perfect. Like you just said, the animatronics were really cool. I liked the upgraded. I mean, it isn't that long. I mean, I understand why adults wouldn't, like, go over the top about it, but I think it's really cute for the kids. And me being a Disney geek, I really liked it.
Yeah, and you have all those classic songs, the music in there, which adds something to it, which is why, you know, an attraction that portrays the you know, the movie that it came from. I mean, to me, that gives it even more legs, that the you know, everybody knows the music, and it's something that's very familiar to everybody.
Yeah, we enjoyed it. And I really do love the whole new Fantasyland. I like everything about it. I know you're not a big fan of the Big Top area and all, but mm-hmm. I kind of like that all in there. I like to watch them because, again, with the Disney tradition, like you were talking about with the candy store, it actually shows them there in the bakery in there putting food together and the treats together and stuff like that. They have the Olafs in there. And what I liked about it, it has pins and different stuff you can buy, but it's a store now that's really big that you can actually roam around in it without feeling claustrophobic like a lot of the stores are in Disney World.
Yeah, the way they have the, you know, where you get the T-shirts and stuff. You're right. There's a lot of room in and around them. And, you know, partly maybe because of, you know, ADA requirements, you got to have clearance around all these things for people with the, you know, the scooters and stuff like that. But for whatever reason, you're right. It does give you the sensation, or the sense, I should say, that, you know, you're not being you know, shoehorned in. Like if you look at like the Emporium, I mean, you almost can't walk in there sometimes, not only because of the amount of people that are in there, but just because they have a, you know, they have merchandise just everywhere. They're trying to use every square inch of it. So that's the exact opposite in that Big Top tent area where everything's wide open.
Yeah, and I think at the Emporium also, because the way they don't have any flow area through there. And I think they do that on purpose to make you stop and look.
Oh, yeah, there's no
I don't think they let it flow just because they want you to have to be held up for a minute to buy something.
I totally agree with you. I mean, we've all done this where we cut in by Casey's there if you're coming from Adventureland, and if you're trying mm-hmm. to get to the bus or the boat or the monorail or something, it's, you know, particularly if it was raining, you know, you'd cut in the Casey's and then, you know, be let out down by the barbershop. If they wanted to, they could put a thoroughfare through that whole place, but you're right. They purposely don't do that because they want you to go off on all these side shoots and look at the merchandise and hopefully buy something.
Absolutely. They're like all the areas, all the stands that are selling stuff are all staggered. They don't have a straight run through it.
Right, right. Now, yep. That's on purpose, I'm sure.
No, then we roamed through Fantasyland. We did, like I said, we did the mermaid, the whole nine yards. We did everything. We went by Gaston's Pub and all. I meant we were full from breakfast. I wanted to get the brew, the Lefou brew,
yep.
And the whole nine yards. I just meant to do it. The next thing you know, you're over in Frontierland. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And something else looks good over there. But we roamed around, and then we snuck out the back way, which I love. Have you ever gone from the new Fantasyland, you go by the train station, and you keep going, it takes you out behind the Indy cars?
Behind Spaceship Earth, in that
yeah,
area.
It takes you-
yeah, I have, and in fact, if you do Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, they set up that path is actually, they usually do it in Alice in Wonderland, but that path has about 5 candy stations on it, so between New Fantasyland and behind the Speedway, that's a popular place to trick-or-treat, if you will. But yes, I have walked that even without Mickey's So Scary to cut into Tomorrowland.
Well, I like it, too, because nobody's back there. Like, I don't think half the people know you can go that way.
Right. You're probably right.
It's empty. We went back and forth that day 4 or 5 times back through there to cut around, and there was never nobody there. Because then we snuck over. We went to go on Tomorrowland. We went to go on the Transit Authority, and that was closed down.
Really?
Which made me very, very sad.
Was it just broken, or don't know what the deal
yeah,
was?
Something happened to it where it was closed. It was broken. Mm-hmm. It was... And then, so we went over and did our Carousel of Progress, which I love. It never gets old to me.
Nice.
You know, and I know that's a standby for you. And then we went on a Buzz.
Right.
I know you don't do Buzz every time, do you?
If there's not a line, I'll jump in it. I mean, it's not one of my favorite attractions, but, you know, if it's available, I'll definitely go on it.
Yeah, now I want to go on Monsters, Inc., the sound stage, but my wife... She refuses to go in there. Ever since she's seen it the first time, she don't want to be. She don't want to interact with
she
him.
She don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, and she. It's kind of like with 50s Prime Time.
Right, right.
She loves the food and loves the restaurant. She just. She don't want to have an overbearing cast member.
Right, right.
She don't enjoy her meal, so that's why we didn't do Monsters, Inc. Laugh Floor this time, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, that's
because it's something that's in a, you don't know what's going to happen every time in there.
Yeah, that's kind of a hidden gem too. I mean, I don't put it high up on my list of attractions to see when I go to the Magic Kingdom, but every time I go to that show, I end up enjoying it. So yeah, I think that's a hidden gem, to be honest with you.
Yeah, we really enjoy that. I really enjoy that. She don't, and
right.
I wanted to take my sister-in-law in, and the good thing I didn't, because if they'd have got her, I would have paid for it the rest of the week.
Oh, well.
So then we were starting to get hungry now. It's almost lunchtime, so we ended over to where do we eat then?
Oh, you must have went back to Columbia Harbor House.
Absolutely. And I was disappointed they didn't have the lobster macaroni and cheese that I wanted, the seafood macaroni and cheese. I didn't see it on the menu.
Yeah, I wonder if it's only at dinner time or something, because I you and I spoke a couple of times while you were away, and I know people were tweeting pictures of it during the week that you were down there, but again, it might have been only offered at dinner time or something like that.
For some reason, I didn't see it. I looked for it, and then I ended up going with the, and I tweeted out, I ended up getting the lobster roll. Which, have you ever had that there?
No, I have not.
It is outstanding. My wife took a bite of it, and they got the lighthouse sandwich, the hummus and tomatoes and broccoli sauce.
Yeah.
Multigrain, they both loved that. They split that. And then I got the lobster roll, and that was absolutely out of this world.
Well, that's good to hear, because I've never had it there, and it'll be tough. If they have the macaroni, seafood macaroni and cheese, it'll be tough to decide between those two. But at least I have a couple of things that I know I want to try there that you're telling me are outstanding. So that's good to know.
Yeah, it's kind of like a lobster salad, if you follow me. It's kind of like a tuna, but it's a lobster version, if you follow me. It is
right.
It is really, really good. And you know what, Dan? If you're going to be doing Food and Wine and you do eat there,
mm-hmm.
As much as I hate to say this, I would tell you to do the lobster roll over the seafood macaroni and cheese.
Really?
Because it'll probably be much healthier for you.
Oh, well, thanks for looking out for me.
I'm just saying. I mean, you'll enjoy it that much. I know you like lobster.
Right, right.
You know, being from Boston, I think it's against the law not to like lobster up there, isn't
right.
it?
Right. Well, yeah, you pretty much will throw you out of the region if you don't eat lobster.
Yeah. And we snuck upstairs as usual and had our upstairs table. And it started off the trip. It was our first out meal. And the Columbia Harbor House never fails. I know it's counter service, but I just love eating there. It's one of the things I look forward to. It's my go-to place at the Magic Kingdom, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Dan, I just love the Harbor House. It's our go-to place again, like I said, in the Magic Kingdom. I mean, I'm looking at pictures right now of it, and I just want to go back and eat there again. So.
I don't think I've ever had a bad meal there. I mean, everything is fresh, and the thing I like about that too, the Columbia Harbor House too, is they have some things on the menu that you, at least I don't think you can get anywhere else in the in Disney World, not only the Magic Kingdom. So that's why I like it for its unique menu items.
Well, you're not the Lighthouse sandwich. I think the hummus sandwich is unique to Magic Kingdom, you know?
And even, even the lobster roll, and there's not too many places. I mean, I know they have a version of it at Food and Wine, but you don't really see a lobster roll just by itself on many of the menus throughout property. So again, it's a good place to go if you want something that's a little bit off the beaten path, if you will, as far as Disney World menus go.
No, it's actually very good. I enjoyed that. The lobster, and again, like you have pot pies, the seafood macaroni you said, then you got fried shrimp. I mean, there's a little bit of that, the grilled chicken nuggets, which is for the kids, the fish, the nuggets and fish with the breast of chicken and the fish, which I like that too.
Yeah, I mean, I like the tuna fish myself. I mean, I get that regularly on each trip. It's a little lighter fare, if you will, and I'm usually eating a lot of hamburgers and stuff while I'm down there, so it's nice to get something a little more healthy, if you will.
Yeah, the Anchors Away sandwich.
There you go.
But yeah, and I had to add fries to ours,
Well,
shake it up a little. It's
yeah,
vacation. I eat good all the time.
exactly.
So we left there, then we moseyed on over to, which I haven't done in a couple years, I have to admit, was we hopped on It's a Small World.
Really?
Yeah, because my sister-in-law was only her second trip in years. She went about 8 years ago with us, or 7 years, whatever it's been.
Right.
She hasn't been there in a while. The girls like that ride, so I got on it, and I really enjoyed it because it's been a while. So being it's been a while, I mean, just and it's totally clean again. It's so nice that everything is working. It was the last couple times before this I went on, not everything was working,
Right.
and this is the first time I've been on since the refurb.
Mm-hmm.
And every single doll was working, and the beauty of them, it's totally cleaned, refreshed, revitalized. It looks brand new in there.
I mean, I went on in the spring, and that's something I always do, and I kind of throw it in the same category, although not, directly tied to Walt, but I guess it is. But just like Carousel of Progress, I mean, it's not my favorite attraction. It's a Small World, that is, but I feel an obligation to go on it because, again, I'd feel terrible if they ever got rid of it. I don't think they would, but
No.
I always do it. I mean, especially if it's walk on or a 10 or 15 minute wait, I'll jump on it and go through. And again, I spoke about this in one of our earlier shows. It always amazes me that I always see something different or a different group of dolls or whatever that I don't recall seeing in previous rides. So I always go on the It's a Small World. I do.
So it's your penance. You got to do your Disney penance. It's one of your penance.
Well, there's a couple, again, like we said, a Carousel of Progress. I don't think it's right to complain that nobody goes on it if we don't partake in it ourselves. So I do feel somewhat of an obligation to go on it.
See, with It's a Small World, it's one of those deals where I can't even count how many times I have been on it. I do enjoy the ride. But with it's different than Carousel because you will go by. I've never gone by Carousel, and I hate to say it, where there's not room to go on.
Right.
But there's been many a times with all the kids that it isn't worth the wait when there's 40, 50-minute wait at It's a Small World.
No, that I totally agree with. I mean, I wouldn't wait in a substantial line, or I wouldn't choose it over, if somebody said, "Oh, let's go around the corner to Haunted Mansion instead," I'm there. But I'm just saying, usually each trip, a visit to the Magic Kingdom, we definitely go on it once anyways.
Yeah, so then we strolled over. We did Pirates, which I told my sister-in-law, like she's freaking out. She don't want to get wet, and I tell her, "You don't get wet on this ride, Donna. It's no big deal."
Right.
So we set up front. It's been a while since I've set up front, and don't you know, for some reason, we get freaking soaked. I mean, soaked for pirates, and not soaked as far as for Splash
Mountain,
River Rapids. Well, we got soaked enough on that ride to just have her upset at me because she got wet.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but every once in a while you will get wet on that ride, and it's happened to me too. And, you know, I don't know if it's just how many people are in the boat or
That's what I think it is.
Yeah, if you got a low buoyancy there, I think you're more apt to get wet, but it's happened.
Yeah, the amount of people on one side to the other, the distribution, blah, blah, blah. And then the other thing was the cannons going off, splashing in the water.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I even got wet from that. It was like the big mouse upstairs was laughing, just saying, okay, you say you don't get wet on this, I'm going to get you wet.
Yeah.
And we got splashed a couple times from the bullets coming off the water. Now, when's the last time you've had that happen?
Yeah, it's been a long time. But, I can remember that happening occasionally, but it's mm-hmm. been a while. I mean,
but it just seemed like all water had a flow that
right.
day.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe they can turn those up so that the you know, the effect is a little bit more or less, depending on what they want to do. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's not the same volume of water each time. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure there is. There's adjustments, just like the water cannons at Splash Mountain.
Exactly.
So then after that, we roamed over and got a Dole Whip.
Nice.
To cheer up.
Now, did you get the plain Dole Whip or the one with the pineapple juice, or what did you get?
I got the swirl.
Okay.
With half and half. So and my sister-in-law got the same thing, the swirl.
Okay. You're going to tell us about the after effects or during effects of eating a Dole Whip too quickly?
I felt like I was having a heart attack because it was hot out.
Right.
And me, I'm weird anyway. Like, it don't take much for me to get ice cream headache.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, I don't know if it was the heat of the day, I only took like two bites. It wasn't like I was devouring it.
Right.
But for some reason, I ended up getting not just a headache, but it lodged in my chest. It felt like I was having a heart attack.
Yeah, no, I've had that happen before. And it's scary when it happens because there's really nothing you can do about it till it just goes away and subsides. But that's too bad.
Yeah, it was weird because I didn't give up, though. I kept trying it. It did it to me like three times.
Right, right.
And then finally I had to kind of bail on it. I mean, I ate most of it. I enjoyed it, don't get me wrong. But there was just something about it that day was just really messing me up.
Right. I've learned over the years that even if you have a water or something, if you drink a little water, that'll speed up the you know, the effect, if you will, and it'll go away. But that's
the other thing is if you ever put your tongue to the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
That works.
Huh. Okay.
Stick your tongue on the roof of your mouth. It takes it away.
I'll have to put that tip in the tip box here and maybe use that in a couple days when I'm down there.
My wife actually told me that. She's an ice cream connoisseur.
Yeah.
Brain freeze extraordinaire.
Yeah.
She taught me that trick, and it actually does work.
Oh, it's good to know. We got a couple of tricks in the tool belt here to be able to eat these Dole Whips.
Yeah, but yeah, that really freaked me out, man. I really thought I was having a heart attack.
Yeah, I know when we were talking, you said you were so worried about it that you ended up taking going up the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse just to make sure the old ticker was still working.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Next, we went up the treehouse to see what my stamina was. I gave myself my own stress test.
There you go. Well,
now, I'm in good shape, too. I walk on stilts for a living, climb scaffold, and I'm not out of shape.
Right, right.
It was just like my own little stress test to make sure it was just the Dole Whip.
Oh, if you got to do a stress test, that's a good one to do. I mean, it beats being on a treadmill or something, right?
Yeah, could you imagine if I had it up the top?
Oh, man.
That would have been beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a joke. I pretty much knew I was okay, but I said, let's go up the treehouse because it was nice day, and we haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, that's one I haven't done in many years, and, you know, again, it's nothing great, but, you know, it's kind of cool climbing around up there. And I know you tweeted out that picture of the kitchen, I think it was, or something like that, and one of our listeners was able to identify where you were, so that was pretty neat.
Yeah, I have quite a few pictures of that because it's been a while. The last time we actually did that was when we had Mom with us, and that's going back. Mom on one of her earlier trips, not her 75th birthday a couple years ago, but like 8-9 years ago. You walk by it sometimes, and actually I enjoyed it.
Right, right. Yeah, y'all, I mean, I almost don't even recognize it as an attraction, sadly enough. It's just there, and, you know, I tend to just walk by it and go on the, you know, Jungle Cruise or something like that. So I'm glad you did it.
Yeah, then we did the standby, the Big Thunder and Splash, and then we went back to the room to freshen up like we normally do. And then we decided to go back that night. After we ate dinner and all, we had dinner over at the food court at the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We grabbed some odds and ends over there, and my wife got the salad and stuff, and then I got the my normal pizza that I didn't get to get the first night. And we grabbed a bunch of things.
Right, right.
But then we went back, me and Brenda. Donna decided she just wanted to relax, and me and Brenda went back for extra magic hours. And then that's when we got lucky enough, as Wishes was going off. You know, me and Brenda did some other odds and ends.
Right.
You know, and then as Wishes was going off, we snuck around to the back because that's when the park was closing for extra magic hours. And me and her got on Mine Train. And it set a 40-minute wait and literally took us like 20 minutes. And again, like I told everybody else, sit back and enjoy the queue.
Right.
That's the reason why we it was nice. I was glad, and I said to everybody I probably wouldn't do Fast Pass anyway. And I was so happy I did it. There's a lot of fans in the line. And know how they're fans at the Kilimanjaro Safari?
Yeah, like those, not ceiling fans, but I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
They're regular blown metal fans.
Yeah.
And they have the same ones here, but they have like five times the amount of power. I mean, you could feel the air coming off these
things.
Right, right. But the whole queue with the stuff with the gold and the interactive stuff, I was so glad I did it because, like Scott said last week, he felt like it was short. But I also think that you enjoy all the stuff on the way in and you anticipate the ride. It actually made it more fun than just running through Fast Pass and being done with it.
Right. No, I agree with you. And you always speak about this on, Everest, that, you know, the queue line is better than the attraction, at least in your view. And I'm glad you were able to experience the Mine Train and the queue line for the Mine Train. I mean, other than the gems, a gem cleaning station, I think they call it, they got other artifacts, or not artifacts, but like different things that tie into
Yeah, there's all kind of different, different things to look at as far as the ride, to tie into it, you know, the whole decor, like barrels, and you know what I'm talking about, like Pirates has. It's really nice. I mean, it's one of those things you got to be a part of it, be in the ride.
Right.
But me and Brenda really enjoyed the whole queue area. Like, it didn't seem like it took that long.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, partly, obviously, it's brand new, and you're seeing this stuff for the first time, so that's exciting in itself. And I know you took a bunch of pictures on your way in, and that stuff. So, I mean, yeah, your time was occupied, and I'm sure you really, got to enjoy the full attraction, if you will, including the queue line.
Oh, yeah, it was really good. Like, you know, they have things, different things. Is give a barrel a great big spin. You'll be surprised. I'll be betting, and I'll make you grin like Doc. There's
right,
all little,
right.
And they're made out of wood and different things. Like, Brenda got my picture taken next to the barrel.
Yeah.
There's keys hanging on the wall. Like, the barrel she has me, there's a big, it looks like a big beer barrel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
like a keg?
Yeah. And it's just like little signs about drag the jewel before you get in there, but the keg barrel is really nice and all. You'll see me. I'm sporting one of our designer WDW Main Street t-shirts.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. You did tweet a couple pictures back, and I put them out on Twitter and Facebook and stuff. Yeah, you were looking dapper in that picture.
I actually had Polo and Tommy Hilfiger contact me after this.
Oh, did they really?
They want me to be a model for their stuff.
They want you to sign a contract?
You were in negotiations, but I told them I want some Main Street tees made. So we'll be back at you on that. I'm holding out for a little more in the back end,
there
if you
go.
Follow me. I want the stuff, future considerations down the road. But no, we went over there and we got on Mine Train. I absolutely loved it. I enjoyed it. I understood what it was. People, I've said on last show that you need to consider the whole Fantasyland as a whole. Like, it seems like everybody's just comparing Seven Moors Mine Train to the new Harry Potter. they don't like they're not making it the whole fantasy land versus Harry Potter. You understand what I'm saying? Like,
right. There's a lot more to it than just the mine train.
Yes, compared to new Be Our Guest restaurant, all the facade, the new castle back, like the way the castle runs back there and all. I mean, it's night and day compared to what Fantasyland used to be. Am I wrong? Would it totally finish now?
Yeah, I mean, when you're in there, I mean, I think I said this earlier. I mean, you know, if you don't have your bearings and you don't see a familiar icon, whether it be the top of the castle or whatever, you almost can get disoriented as to where you are because everything's new, all the sight lines are new, and they did a good job of kind of blocking off the rest of the park, so you really do feel like you're in a, you know, a new place, if you will. So
you can't even see Tomorrowland like you used to be able to.
Right.
And like Tomorrowland, if you don't walk out, like I connected it through and got through because I'm a seasoned veteran, because that's what my sister-in-law was saying. How the heck do you know your way around here like this? She goes, I'd be lost 20 times.
Right.
You know, because it's like those two back there walking together and just following me. It was like I was their personal valet for the week, if you follow
the
me.
The tour guide.
Yes. You know, I was their cast member.
Right.
But it was really cool that the way they did it, like you said, it's its own world. Like if you didn't see the castle, you wouldn't know better. It's like everything is brand new and fresh. It's with the completely being finished. I give it an A myself.
Yeah, I mean, I do as well. I mean, you know, we waited so long for it. What was it, 2.5 years? And, you know, it went by slow, but yet it went by fast, I guess, if that makes any sense. We waited so long, and, you know, given the fact that they opened it up in bits and pieces, you're right. Nobody really, you know, I shouldn't say nobody, but people tend to not view it as a whole complete land. You know, they just pick it apart attraction by attraction. And, you know, if you take it as a whole, the, you know, Storybook Circus area and, you know, the Little Mermaid and, you know, all the Be Our Guest,
the restaurant,
Stones and all that stuff. I mean, it's a huge addition to the Magic Kingdom. And, you know, I believe it was the largest addition or change to the Magic Kingdom since it was built. So,
absolutely.
You know, it was a monumental undertaking. And, you know, I would agree with you. I think it was very well done. And it's a great addition to the park itself.
Okay, now this is my – remember the point me and you went back on? My wife thinks I browbeat you sometime, which you're guilty of that too. She just heard last week's show, not everyone. But – like, know how we were talking about Epcot, and to let everybody know, I don't want the way it's set up to change, but I wouldn't mind additions to it. That wouldn't affect the way the whole atmosphere is there. But, like, now how they made, you have to admit, they made Fantasyland more adult-friendly. Wouldn't you agree with that?
With the new Fantasyland addition, is that what
you're
saying?
Yeah, the way they redesigned Fantasyland, wouldn't you say that it's more adult-friendly, more inviting for adults to roam through there now?
Yeah, I mean, again, I guess it's hard to say because, you know, obviously it's the Magic Kingdom, and especially Fantasyland, is meant for small kids, but I think that, you know,
but the beauty of it now, the elegant, like, it's more beautiful. It's more, it's not all kid eccentric. It's more adult with the BR Gas, Gaston's Pub, stuff like that. It has a little bit more of an adult atmosphere to it, too, with the mine train.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would.
So that's my thing. I'm not saying to change it, but the way they tweaked it now, where, like I said, me and Brenda don't have kids, but we want to be in Fantasyland.
Right.
We're up until this change, we didn't want to be in Fantasyland. There was nothing that made us go to Fantasyland.
Right. Well, when they had, you know, Mickey's house and stuff like that, I mean, let's face it, that was, no pun intended, a little cheesy. I mean, it was, you know, you couldn't even see Mickey.
But
in the...
we would skip PhilharMagic because it was right there.
Right.
A lot of times, too, because we like PhilharMagic, but just dealing with the aggravation to get back to that.
Right.
Was, you know what I mean? And the way they set up the new bathrooms around PhilharMagic, everything that leads to that, the transition from Haunted Mansion and Frontier, that area there, mm-hmm. or Liberty Square and all, mm-hmm. the transition from there to Fantasyland is so much better than what it used to be.
Yeah, and I think it also, you know, it spread the crowd out somewhat. I mean, you know, the footprint of Fantasyland is, you know, twice or three times what it was with the new Fantasyland. So, you know, when you used to come, if you went through the castle, you know, and you were let out into fantasy land, you know, you'd be right at the carousel there, and all the strollers were there, and it was very restricting, or restrictive, I should say. And you're right, there was a mass of people there, but I think now that you can access, you know, not only through the castle, but from, you know, Liberty Square, like you said, or even through Tomorrowland by that walkway that you said, there's multiple ways to get in and out of there. So I just think the crowd, I'm sure the crowds are just as big as they were or bigger, but I think that there's just so much more area that you don't feel like it's that crowded, if that makes sense.
Yeah, besides Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, we probably spent a few hours in Fantasyland. It's probably more than the last 30 trips combined that I spent in Fantasyland.
Right, no doubt. But I mean, again,
that's my point. Yeah. That's the thing that I was trying to say about Epcot. I don't want them to change. I want Italy, I want all the countries to look identical. But I wish they would put the rides that they originally intended or do something like that to make it where, like I said, the teens and the kids want to enjoy the countries, because I think it'll also teach the kids more, because if they're around it, they're going to learn it regardless if they want to or not.
Right. Just by being there and absorbing the atmosphere and different
exactly.
things. Exactly. Yeah.
No, like if they put something the gondola ride in Italy, like you said, it wouldn't bother you.
Not at all.
And we're agreeing. And I wish Germany would do the roller coaster, and I wish Japan would do something. You understand what I'm saying? It, like, each country should have to have some kind of attraction.
Yeah.
Besides just a movie, in my opinion.
No, and you're right. And I think, by and large, all the countries were slated,
exactly.
But, you know, budgets got overrun, and countries fought back on how much they were going to pay. And plus, they were under some pressure to open up the park, you know, on the date that it opened. So, you know, they put a lot of these things on the back burner, saying, oh, well, we'll do that in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. And we know plans changed and it just never happened. So, you know, I think the intent was there and
exactly.
You know.
But that was my whole point last week. I wasn't trying to disagree with you and Scott, but I like the idea that maybe the Frozen is the start of where Disney's going to be a little more a joint effort with the country.
Right.
And try to add something to it, or maybe they'll actually go out of pocket and put some, say, finally, I'm not going to keep continuing to expect the countries to pay for all this. Maybe we can add our own franchise as part of each country and not ruin the beauty of the country, if you follow me.
Yeah, again, and not to rehash it, but like I said, no. I'm all for adding. That isn't the issue. It's, you know, to me, you're replacing something that's already there, and that's where my issue is. That's all.
No.
I mean,
no, I just wanted to plus each country the way it was supposed to be. That's what I'm hoping for out of all this. That was my point.
Yeah, and I'm sure they will, and like we all agree on this, that it's definitely needed. I mean, nobody's going to say that Epcot is, you know, from a technology perspective or from a ride perspective or from any perspective, is current and up to date. I mean, you know, all these countries, as our country has grown, and a lot of things have happened, you know, since those countries have been put in there, if you will, that they could certainly add to and plus up or add even more countries, for that matter. We talked about that there's a lot of wasted space in some of the pavilions, that they could possibly even add a few more countries in there.
Like, how awesome would it be to have some kind of Ratatouille show or ride at France?
Yeah, I mean, we keep hearing rumors of that, you know, that's coming or could come, and I would welcome that, you know.
But, like, we even spoke about it. It could also fit in with Food and Wine, because it could be he's, like, part of the show, a chef.
Mm-hmm.
Some kind of ride where you run through London or whatever, and then it ends up where he teaches you how to eat healthy or something.
Yeah, I mean.
And that would help the kids, but I would enjoy that. Like, there's not, and again, I don't care about going on rides back there, but when you're with my godson and stuff like that, they want a little something to do too.
Yeah.
And I think it would let the parents enjoy Epcot even more. But to stop that, we're going to go back to the Magic Kingdom.
How'd we get over
but that
Epcot? No.
was my point with, you know, with Fantasyland and
right,
all.
Right.
But we ended up, me and Brenda stayed. It was open to 1 a.m., which I was so happy about.
Right.
So that's how we got to do Mine Train, the whole 9 yards. And then we roamed our way back. And there's nothing like roaming the stores at Main Street after dark. Is there?
No, that's kind of a relaxing way to end the night at the Magic Kingdom and, you know, let the hordes of people, you know, push themselves down Main Street. But, yeah, if you just meander through the shops and, you know, look in window shop, even if you don't spend any money, just browsing around and stuff, that's definitely something to do to end your day at the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah, we did get to do the People Mover during the day. It finally opened back up, so we don't know what the problem was. We roamed back over there with Don and all before we took her home. On the way back out, I said, let's go by there.
Right.
And we ended up getting on that, which I love. And then we ended up doing it at night on the way back.
How did you like the color scheme? I know we talked about that. Is it vibrant or is it not?
I loved it. I think it looks great. Yeah. And the other thing I wanted to comment on, too, that I meant to is Astro Orbiter looks awesome.
Really?
Even though I don't go on it, wait till you see it next week. You're going to love it. I got some pictures of that, too, I'll send you.
Right.
But it's absolutely gorgeous the way they redid all the planets look great.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't get on that ride. It's been forever.
Right.
But it is part of the landscape of Tomorrowland to me, and I'm so glad they redid that because it looks absolutely – the whole Tomorrowland looks beautiful.
Oh, good. I'm glad they're taking care of it. And so when you come over the bridge there from the main hub, you can see the Astro Orbiter and
absolutely
draws you right in.
As soon as you go through the little entranceway to Tomorrowland, you could see it. The planets are absolutely beautiful. I mean, they jump right out. They look three-dimensional now.
Wow. Nice.
Like the painting is, I think they had to do something to make them pop the way they do.
Right. Well,
it's like in high definition.
There you go.
And then to speak of that a little bit as we went over, I got some pictures too. It is sad that the walls are all up. Like, I miss that walk when you go over Main Street headed towards your castle with all the moats and the water there. I miss all that.
Right.
I mean, I know we need it for space because it is carried away there, especially now, like Wishes and all the new fireworks. They're even more popular. They're more popular than ever, I think, at the Magic Kingdom now.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's one of the main things. I mean, any commercial or anything you see about Disney World, you're always going to get a fireworks shot of the cab, you know, behind the castle.
Exactly. But it even seems like in the last 10 years or so, it's gotten even more where everybody actually does just – everybody used to watch the fireworks, but it didn't seem like everybody settles in now more.
Yeah.
They're, like, more complacent to just stand there and watch. Like, before they'd watch as they were moving.
Right.
Like, even we, with the changes, with the view, because I like all the stuff that goes on the castle, myself.
Oh, the castle projection stuff?
Yeah, I really like that.
Yeah.
And I like the new Wishes and all the whole nine. I love all the new fireworks shows, but we watch them even more now than we used to. And then the other thing to end the day off, which was great, is the old school electrical parade came out.
Nice.
And we got to watch out as we were leaving at like 12:30 at night. That was really awesome.
Yeah, and you can't beat that music. I mean, as soon as it's so distinct when you hear it, you definitely know you're watching that parade. That's for sure.
And my wife does give the Starbucks. I think the bakery even has more to offer. I mean, I've seen it. This is the second time. I like with the new Starbucks enhancements and all. I have no problem with it. It didn't take anything away from it. They didn't go all gaudy or anything.
No,
in my opinion.
It's very subtle in my view. And you know, same thing with the one over at Epcot. I mean, yeah, you see the Starbucks sign inside, but you know, there's not a neon glowing sign out on Main Street or something like that that says this is Starbucks. I mean.
That's where I've gotten arguments with other podcasters and other friends of the show and on, you know, talking to friends around here and all, and they would go off on it. And I was like, this has been a tradition with Disney since the parks opened. I mean, Lamb was by Nestle's, and this is by Kodak. I mean, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was Kodak.
Right.
They've had sponsors in the parks forever. Coca-Cola is everywhere.
Yeah, you're right. Casey's Corner is affiliated with Coke. And,
yeah.
I mean, you're right. And I know I've mentioned this before. I mean, if you watch Illuminations and you love Illuminations, right after the show ends, they project Siemens up on the spaceship Earth. I mean, they're always commercializing and, you know, recognizing their sponsors for these different things, because without them, they either wouldn't be here or they wouldn't be maintained. So it's the nature of the beast, if you will.
I mean, it's been like that forever. And that's what was driving me nuts, with everybody complaining about Starbucks going in the parks. Like, they used to have McDonald's French fries. You'd see the McDonald's sign. And then what about Chase Card? the Chase cards are everywhere throughout the park.
Right, they got the Chase Lounge now and stuff like that. So
yeah, and I didn't know about it either. My buddy went down and he made me mad. My buddy Bill, he got something that I never had to see. He had a friend that works for Siemens.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to go in the lounge in Spaceship Earth at Epcot.
I haven't done that either. I'd love to.
No, and I never will probably, but his friend got him in that lounge. They actually got to watch. You know, you could, there's a viewpoint from there, the whole nine yards, which I would love to see that. He's supposed to send me pictures one day. I'm still waiting. But to end it all, we did leave and all. But the one thing, and thank God, we got to do everything there that day.
Right.
Because we spent the entire day from 9 in the morning. We went home at lunchtime, at dinner time, and then came back till 1 a.m. The one thing I was mad about then, and I will agree with you, and this will end the show, is I was very pissed, and I say it with a capital P, that the Mickey's Not So Scary was the entire week. It's like every day now, almost.
Yeah, it's getting more and more each year. They offer it for more days and more days of the week, it seems, every year.
Well, it was every night. So the Magic Kingdom the rest of the week was closed at 7 a.m. So basically
7 p.m.
7 p.m., I'm sorry. It was closed at 7 p.m. So basically the rest of the week I didn't get to go back to the Magic Kingdom.
Because
of the way it was closed. We popped in during the day, but I wanted to go there at night again. You follow me? And it was basically because we park hop and all.
Right.
For me, it basically ruined it. I think that party, and I kind of agree with you, like I don't mind the hard tickets, but I think that party should have to start at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, that way.
Why should I be punished? Let it run from 9 to 1.
Right. No, and that's what I was trying to say. And again, when they first started this thing, you know, if they were just going to have 10 of them a year or something, you know, anybody can be reasonable. You say, all right, I can plan. If I was going to happen to go to Magic Kingdom on that day, I can move my schedule around so that that doesn't affect me. And that was your big point. It doesn't affect me. And, you know, but, you know, if it's multiple times a week and, you know, you happen to have other plans or maybe you had an ADR at other parks and you could only get to the Magic Kingdom on, you know, one or two nights of your vacation, if it happens to be a Mickey's Not So Scary party night, you're out of luck. I mean, you just don't have access to that park. And, you know, I just, like I said, I mean, it's not about who's right or who's wrong. I mean, we're all, both of us are on both sides of issues here and there. But, you know, not only for Mickey's Not So Scary, but, you know, there's going to be all these hard ticket events are nibbling away, in my view, at the regular guest that just has a, you know, whether it's a park hopper or a one-day ticket or an annual pass. It's taking away from hours that you could be in the park. I'm not saying you would be, but you could be. And now, you know, you really got to look at your week and figure out when all these special events are because it might impact your vacation.
Yeah, four nights of the week we were down there, it was on.
Yeah, see, that's tough. That's tough.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't every night, but it was like the way our plans were set up. I mean, four nights out of a week, that's four nights it's closing at 7 o'clock. I think that's wrong.
Right, because, you know, the time of year that you went and everything, like you said, the one night you were there, it was open till 1. So, you know, from 7 to 1, a couple of nights, if that's what it is, that's multiple hours that you basically were told, yeah, I know you got a ticket for the day, but you're not allowed in here, Doug.
That's what makes me mad is, like, if you don't use, if you, like, we can't even tour the parks without park hopper. It's not a question
right.
for us. We have to have park hopper.
Yep.
The $59, it's so worth it to us because we couldn't tour without it. Now, imagine if you didn't have that. So every night you're done at 7?
Right. And that's what I was saying. How is that fair, you know? And you know, it's probably a happy medium, but like I said, you know.
Like, I think on nights they have the party, if you're a resort guest, you should get then you should be able to go to one of the other parks that are open late then.
Yeah.
If they're going to kick you out at 7 and you use the Magic Kingdom that day,
yep.
you should be able to put on your band that you're allowed – your park hours should be normal.
Right. Because like
I think the same thing about the Animal Kingdom. When that closes at 6, it's not fair if you don't have park hopper. You're paying for a full day.
Right, exactly, and you don't have the full day, and you're right. I mean, there are guests that, you know, we get spoiled because we generally have park hoppers or multi-day tickets or annual passes, but there are some guests that may just have a you know, one park, one day ticket because that's all they can afford or whatever. And like you said, if they happen to land on a day that there's one of these special events going on, whether it's Mickey's Not So Scary or Harambe Nights or whatever it might be, it doesn't matter what it is, you know, they're going to be in for a big disappointment. You know.
Well, the thing of it is a lot of families, if you're booking a trip for five, six people in a family with the park hopper for $60, there's $300 extra. They don't have it sometimes.
Exactly, exactly.
But if you're going to go to the Animal Kingdom at only 6 o'clock, I think you should have a full day pass. So if that closes at 6 and that's your park, you should be able to go to Epcot if it's open to 11 on Extra Magic Hour.
Yeah, I mean, that would make it right. I mean, you know, you wouldn't be at the park maybe that you want to be at, but at least you have access to the entertainment and whatever fireworks show that they're given, at whether it be the studios or Epcot or whatever. So I agree with you, and you know it's not fair. And like I said, my fear is more and more of these come online, that it's going to be, you know, on a 365 day calendar, you know, there's going to be 40 days and 50 days and 60, you know, and at some point it's just not right in my view. But
no, and we ended up, like I said, I love the Magic Kingdom at night. We ended up with Epcot 4 nights,
right,
which I'm happy with because I love Epcot. We've seen Illuminations twice,
mm-hmm,
which I love that. But the point of it was is I wanted to go back to Magic Kingdom another night. And the way it worked out, because of the parties, four of them in the week, we never got to go back at nighttime. I just think that's wrong.
Right, and your only other option there is to ante up the $70 a pop to, you know, go to the party. And, you know, you may not have the funds to do that.
And been there, done that. I don't want to do it.
Right.
I could go to the other parks. I just, you know, and getting your sister-in-law. So there's $210 after I've already told her $400 for a ticket. You understand what
yep.
I'm saying? It's like,
yep.
I don't want to do that. We're adults. But we wanted to be at the Magic Kingdom at night. So we don't even get wishes that night.
Yeah.
How's that fair?
No. And
we didn't even get our fireworks out of our money if you were there for that day.
Right. And
so you're not paying attention to the schedule or something. You decided to go to that park and you screwed up because there was a Halloween party. And now you're with your whole family and you're stuck home because you didn't have park hopper.
Yeah, and think of this too, Doug. I mean, you're in the loop. You're a travel agent, and you do a podcast, and you're always up on the Disney news. I mean, the average family from Nebraska, they don't pay any attention to what nights Mickey's Not So Scary. They may not even know what that even is. And,
until they get there.
Right, and they just think they may plan their day out so that they have, a 4 p.m. ADR at Crystal Palace or something, and they think, oh, we'll spend the night at the Magic Kingdom, and next thing you know, a couple hours after dinner, they're being booted out. Exactly. I mean, imagine what a rude awakening that would be.
No, and I think it should automatically go on your band and say, listen, you can go over to the studios or you can go over to Epcot for the evening then.
Right. That would only make it right, but,
yeah.
You know,
so
it'd be
interesting.
Yeah, no, it'd be interesting to see if they do something like that, because I guarantee you there's going to be more and more people that are complaining about this, because it's starting to impact people's vacations, no doubt.
It's too much, because then it goes right into the very Merry Christmas party.
Yep. Yeah,
same thing.
It doesn't end. You're absolutely right.
But our podcast does end, and that's going to be it for this week, buddy.
All right. Well, fortunately, all good things have to come to an end, right?
Well, yeah, we'll do Epcot and the studios and Animal Kingdom on the next show. We'll continue my trip report and add some news and all. And you leave, you'll be down there on the 2nd, so we're going to get your trip coming up. So we'll be out of compare notes. So there should be some great shows coming up with content from the know.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Contact us at wdwmmsmpodcast@gmail.com. You can contact Dennis at Oak Matter on Twitter or us at WDW Main Street. Check us out on Podbeam at WDW Main Street. And also, please, at iTunes, WDW Main Street. And please give us a review. Even if you don't like us, let us know. All right, guys. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Talk to you soon, Dan.
See you later, Doug.
Well, that's going to be it, guys. Me and Den's going to hop off our stools. It was another fun day of talking Disney with you. And don't forget our sponsors, American Tourist Travel, Scooter Vacations, and David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to find any of our fine sponsors, hop on our website at wdwmainstreetmemories.com. And again, thanks for joining us, and talk to you real soon.